How many of you were here 2 weeks ago? Most of you in this room, right? Dennis taught on one of Jesus Christ's teachings regarding spiritual kingdoms, and in particular, the kingdom of his Father. While the teaching centered on the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the adversary, this morning we're going to focus on the contrasting wisdom between the two kingdoms. We heard some of that in the manifestations and prayers this morning. So God's word declares, deliberately or not, everyone chooses to have their lives governed by one of two types of wisdom, either that which comes from God or that which comes from the kingdom of the adversary, the world. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So, you know, from John 10:10, many of you know our enemy, the devil. He desires to do what?
Steal, destroy.
But he desires to steal what? Truth from us with the enticement of pseudo-wisdom. You know, he likes to lure you in. Unlike the devil, who operates secretively with a motive and deceitfully to lure us into false wisdom, God has graciously made his precious wisdom openly available to all who seek truth. Turn to James, please. James chapter 1. James 1. Ready, Dennis? Oh, you're in the wrong. Oh, you have a different Bible? Okay, well, just... Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to start. Is everybody there?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Okay. If any, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men how?
Liberally.
And upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Okay, so this verse is introducing the topic of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. It's what to do. It's not just trivia or facts, but it's knowledge that applies to life, enabling us to live in a certain way. Liberally is bountifully or generously. Upbraideth means is to reproach or chide. It's to put down. Does God scold us for asking him what to do?
No.
He never puts us down for asking. He gives wisdom freely. Now turn to chapter 3, verse 13. And he teaches us how to recognize a wise man. 3:13. I'm going to read it from the King James, but okay. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So true wisdom is marked by meekness or humility, and will be demonstrated in the way one conducts their life. Pride characterizes the wisdom of the world. Pride focuses and exalts self. Meekness and humility focus on and exalt God. Look at verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. There it is. How instructive is this verse? This verse shows that if there's any envy and strife in my life, it's because those things are in my heart. Because, again, the Word of God declares there's only two types of wisdom. Because there's only two sources of wisdom, like we saw the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the answer. Most people, including Christians, think there are multitude types of wisdom. And there are a range of choices you can hide in your heart. God's Word limits wisdom to what? Two choices. Godly wisdom or worldly wisdom, which will culminate in two different results. If what I have in my heart's not from God, it came from somewhere else. Look at verse 15. Alan, do you want to read that? James.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish.
Right. There it is. These three words, earthly, sensual, and devilish, are important because they expose where this wisdom comes from. And what is behind this type of wisdom? This wisdom is in the earthly or natural realm. This wisdom is received by the five senses. All right, I heard in the manifestation about that. And the source of this wisdom is from the devil or the father of lies. Verse 16. Jack, will you read that?
for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
Correct. The result of this wisdom in the world is going to be disharmony and every evil work. But guess what? There's a choice. Verse 17. Here it is. But the wisdom that's from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Is that wisdom going to affect my life? Absolutely. So God's wisdom is pure, meaning that it's not defiled or contaminated with evil. It's peaceable. It's inclined to peace. It's gentle. It's yielding and considerate. It doesn't insist on its rights. When people get angry, they usually aren't willing to yield to reason. Have you noticed that? It's easy to be entreated. It's, in other words, you're willing to yield to reason. You're not self-willed. It's full of mercy, being filled with an act of compassion, and it's without partiality, for it doesn't discriminate against any person and is without hypocrisy. Wisdom, the wisdom that's genuine doesn't play a part. Okay, verse 18. Mark, do you see that?
James? And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Right. So wisdom from above in the heart of a believer is going to bring peace, right? Again, how valuable is God's wisdom? Well, we're going to look at it. God's word says that wisdom is extremely precious. In fact, a lack of wisdom is a much greater shortcoming than a deficiency in material things. And we're going to open now. We're going to spend most of our time in the book of Proverbs in chapter, a few things. Chapter 1. Who knows who wrote the book of Proverbs?
Solomon.
Right.
Solomon.
All right. So the book of Proverbs, written by King Solomon, communicates how valuable wisdom is. King Solomon's wisdom is first highlighted in 1 Kings 3. We're not going to go there, but where he asked God for an understanding heart to judge God's people and to discern between good and evil. God was pleased with Solomon's request, correct? He granted him unparalleled wisdom as well as riches and honor. So again, the book of Proverbs contrasts the difference in actions of those following God's wisdom versus those following worldly wisdom. And it's going to teach us that living wisely leads to blessings, while foolishness leads to calamity or ruin. Okay, so we're going to open in verse 1. I'll read it here. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, 1:1, to know what wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple. Pay attention to that word simple. We're going to look at that later. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man does what? Hears and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain into wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So it's introduced here as a book that's intended to give us wisdom and understanding. Not just knowledge. Or to tickle our ears. In fact, the book of Proverbs is really a great foundation on the benefits of God's wisdom, and particularly in the first 9 chapters. We're not going to go through all the 9 chapters, but I just wanted to highlight that the first 9 chapters serve as an extended introduction on presenting wisdom as something to be sought after like treasure. The book of Proverbs contains an abundance of truth, the motherlode of wisdom from the Old Testament regarding pursuing God's wisdom, as well as the pitfalls that occur when you neglect it. We're going to start now with the benefits, okay? So turn to chapter 3, please. We're going to look at the benefits this morning, and then, okay, Proverbs 3. And I'll, who wants to read Proverbs? Well, I'll read it. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14. For the merchandise, that word merchandise is the word profit. For the profit of it is better than the profit of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious, valuable, than rubies, and all things that can be desired are not to be compared to her. So if rubies aren't your thing, whatever you can desire. It's not to be compared to or on the same scale as wisdom. It's pretty high praise for wisdom, right? Have you ever stopped to consider that God didn't have to reveal his word to us, and here we have it. We can open it and read it in our own language, and how valuable that is. Okay, verse 21. Jack, you want to read verse 25?
My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh.
Okay. So these verses describe the life of one who's walking God's wisdom, where you're going to be successful, where you have life, where when you lie down at night, your sleep is sweet because you're not afraid. Contrast to that to those following the worldly wisdom. There are a lot of people are afraid out there, aren't they? A lot of people. And you're not afraid. What's that worth to have sweet sleep? What's that worth?
Sure.
Does that qualify as making wisdom precious? Absolutely. Look at verse 26. For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. That word confidence is the word for flank. It's a military term meaning to position or guard from the side. When we choose to walk in God's wisdom, he's at my side. He backs me up. It's an awesome promise that I can live my life without stumbling, with God by my side, without fear. Great stuff so far, right? Okay. Let's go back to chapter 2. And I'm in verse 1. Brian, do you want to read that? Proverbs 2:1.
This is the ASV.
Okay.
My son, if thou wilt receive my words and lay up my commandments with thee, keep going or?
Yeah.
Okay. So as to incline thy ear into wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding.
Okay. Thine heart. Okay. Let me read that here. So the word of God must be what? Received, right? And hidden where? In our heart. So that thou incline, that's humility. And apply, that's application, thine heart to understanding. So we have to have a humility and application. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. So you can cry out to God to teach you his word. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou, what? Understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. There it is. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So, how great is God to give knowledge and understanding to those that are seeking him? We are to search for it as we would seek hidden treasures, right? So there's a diligence, a sticking to it, so to speak. But seeking God's wisdom is a heart issue. He's not going to force his wisdom on you if you don't want it. Even when wisdom's rejected, though, he's still loving and he makes it available. Now we're going to look at the pitfalls of rejecting God's wisdom. Spend some time. Okay, let's skip down to verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. All right. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. So right now, wisdom is being personified as a woman. It's a figure of speech. Wisdom is doing the talking here. She crieth in the chief place of concourse. In the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her word, saying. Now, this verse is real important, because we're going to look at this in more detail. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And this, Scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. So who's wisdom calling out here? Three groups of people, right? In this verse, there's a progression of different degrees of unwise people. These three groups of people have not chosen God's wisdom as their one and only source of truth. These three. So, but look at what God says in verse 23. Mary, do you want to read verse 23?
Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you.
Okay. So wisdom is calling out for them to turn, to stop going down the bad path, and wisdom will teach them and will help them. These three categories of the unwise have to do with the way they respond to God's wisdom. But what's really interesting is there's a progression here of the unwise when it comes to rejection of God's wisdom. These terms, simple, fool, and scorner, reflect the progression in the depth and nature of foolishness. Proverbs 1:23. Okay. Now, remember when we started in Proverbs 1, verse 4, to give subtlety? Remember I told you to pay attention to the word simple? To the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion? Remember that's... Okay, so turn to Proverbs 7:7. We're going to look at the simple first. Remember, we're looking at three different categories of unwise. Proverbs 7:7. Is everybody there? Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it from the NIV. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who had no sense. Okay, that's not a flattery, is it? Okay. Proverbs 14:15. This one's really, really enlightening. Proverbs 14:15. Everybody there? Dennis? Okay. The simple believeth what? Every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. Skip to verse 18. The simple inherit what? Folly. But the prudent are crowned with knowledge. So these verses aren't referring to a simple life, like, oh, let's say an Amish person, you know, where you live real, no electricity or that sort of thing. That's just what it's talking about. This word simple comes from a Hebrew word that means to be susceptible, believes everything. The simple man is gullible, easily persuaded, and enticed. The simple man has yet to make God's word his one and only standard. He has many standards. Basically, he's naive and will listen and believe to whatever he hears at the moment. Or who is speaking the loudest? This is not a good spiritual quality because he neglects discernment and is very susceptible to the wisdom that the world promotes. The prudent man, the wise man in this verse, in these verses, knows where he's going. He knows what he's believing and why. He's a man of one standard. Now, go to Proverbs 19, verse 27. Proverbs 19:27. Okay. Everybody there? Marissa, are you there?
Yes.
Can you read Proverbs 19:27 loud?
Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge.
Wow. Wow, that's a profound. What's God doing? He's advising us to cease listening to instruction that leads to error and turns us away from his wisdom. He emphasizes the importance of being discerning about the teachings we accept and internalize. Let's now go to the New Testament for a couple of scriptures. Ephesians 4:14. Now, many of you probably know this by heart, but Ephesians 4:14. Mark, are you there?
Yes.
You want to read it?
For we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive.
Okay, so the simple man gets what? Tossed to and fro like a ball, right?
Yep.
Now look at Romans 16, 17. Romans 16, 17. Look what Paul says here. I'm going to read it. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. And do what?
Avoid them.
Here's verse 18. Look at this. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Remember, we're looking at the simple man right now. That's what happens. He's got so many standards. He's got the word, but he's got all these others. Because the hearts of the simple are susceptible to false wisdom, God warns us to mark and avoid those that teach contrary to right doctrine. Now, we looked at the simple. Now we're going to look at the next category, the unwise, and that's the fool. Okay? Okay. So who is this fool? Okay, first of all, it's not a silly person or a clown. And that's what you think of, right? Kind of. But unlike the simple man who has more than one standard, the fool is a little more entrenched in his ways. A fool is one that has one standard, and that's his own. All right. All right, Proverbs 1, verse 7. We were in Proverbs earlier, chapter 1. We'll go back there. Chapter 1, verse 7. Okay? Okay, let's read this together. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of knowledge.
But fools despise
wisdom and instruction. Right. So the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. So the fool has disregard for God's wisdom. This indicates that a fool is not only unwise, but actively rejects the guidance that could lead to understanding. Turn to chapter 12, verse 15 of Proverbs. Ready? Yeah. The way of a fool is what?
Right.
Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So the fool's not willing to listen to counsel because he believes that his way is always right. Have you ever met people like that?
No.
Have you ever been like that? Yeah. Okay. Turn to chapter 17. Chapter 17, Proverbs 17, 24. This is really, really, and this one really gets me. Proverbs 17, 24. Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are where? In the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. Let me read the NIV. A discerning person keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. So the fool's not against learning. Often he's going to exhibit a ravenous hunger for information, and he'll scour the world for it. Then he gets to decide what information is important. He decides what can be discarded. He decides how it all fits together. Because for him, his way is the only one that matters. You can put wisdom in front of the fool, but you're not going to stop his eyes from wandering. The fool hasn't been beaten down enough from the world wisdom yet to decide to change. So guess what? He remains a what? Fool. Okay. And look at this. I love this scripture. Verse 16 from Proverbs 17. Even money doesn't convince the fool to search for wisdom. I'm going to read it from King James and the NIV. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Seeing he hath no heart to it? And the NIV. Of what use is money in the hand of a fool, since he has no desire to get wisdom? Wow. So wisdom cannot penetrate the mind of a fool because he already has no heart for it. What does he have a heart for? Well, look at Proverbs 18, verse 2. Who wants to read Proverbs 18, 2?
I will.
Okay.
A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself.
Okay. There you go. That's what his heart, it's all about himself, searching his own heart, his desires. He has a way of doing things. He has no delight in changing. He takes delight in this world where he has chosen to place his trust and wisdom. Now look at Proverbs 26, verse 11. This one really makes me, I try not to laugh at some of this, but.
All the making is art.
Yeah, true. Proverbs 26, 11. When you're there, Tim, do you want to read it? Proverbs 26, 11.
As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his vomit.
Ah, okay. What a terrible place to be. The fool is so convinced that his own way is right that when he repeats his mistakes, he doesn't learn from them. He continues his repetitive folly until a fool changes his heart. This is going to be his course. Now, remember we looked at the three kinds. We had the simple, the fool. Now we're going to look at the scorner, one that's more hardened than the fool. Turn to Proverbs 13, verse 1. Because those are the three that are listed in Proverbs as unwise. Proverbs 13, 1. Alan, are you there? You want to read that?
Sure. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke.
Yep, not wise. Proverbs 9, 8. I can read that. Okay. Reprove not a scorner, lest he what?
Hate
thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And that's really true. How you receive God's word will indicate the kind of character you are. Okay. Proverbs 21, 24. Dennis, do you want to read that, or are you there yet?
21.
24. Uh-huh.
Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath.
Right. So the scorner is not seeking wisdom, and he rejects correction. In fact, scorners are frequently combative and are proud of their wrath. Perhaps you guys have met some. I have, even in my own family. All right. Now look at this one. I just love the way God's word. Proverbs 29:8. That's one I really like. This. Ready, Brian? Are you there?
Yes.
Do you want to read it?
Yes. Scoffers set a city in a flame, but wise men turn away wrath.
Okay. I have scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. So, the scorner is like a fool. But I heard this in a teacher. It made me laugh. But he's an evangelical fool. He's not just content with deriding God's wisdom. In fact, just like our adversary, he's interested in sabotaging as many people as he can to stop believing God's word. Not that he's just is making fun of God's word, but he wants others as well. He's interested in what we do as well, and he will go out of his way to do so. But here's what an answer that God gives, which I love. Proverbs 22:10. And I've actually had to use this scripture here with a family member. I'll read it. Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease. So, God says, when you cast out the scorner, contention leaves. And we have a great example to look at. Turn to Acts 13, please. Acts 13. Starting verse 1. Okay. I'll read it. Now there when the church...
Which verse?
Verse 1. We're starting Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, I don't know how you say that, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So here they go. So they being sent forth by the Holy Spirit departed into Cilicia. How do you say that? Cilicia?
Cilicia.
And from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John, which is John Mark. So, to their minister. Verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle into Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar Jesus, also, and I have known as Elymas. Mm-hmm. So, which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. So, you have a man that wants to hear the word. But look verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So was he merely a passing observer?
No.
He actively attempted to dissuade the proconsul from hearing the word of God. Look at verse 9. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Cast out the scorner, contention shall go out. Yay. So, and some of you have probably dealt with scorners. Personally, I know I have. And Paul's walking by revelation, and he delivered a direct and powerful rebuke to Elymas, causing him to be blind for a season. Blinding the opposition, removed the strife, and allowed Sergius Paulus to hear the gospel with signs and wonders leading him to believe. Look at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So here we have it. Although there's a progression of the hardening of the heart of the simple, the fool, and the scorner, they're all headed for the same destiny. If they don't change and make God's wisdom their one and only standard. Proverbs 1:22 again. I'm going to read it. Go back to Proverbs 1:22, and we're almost done here. Okay. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge? So God's asking the question, how long will these individuals disregard his wisdom? Amazingly, God doesn't abandon those who reject his wisdom. For those who repent, there's a promise that God will make his wisdom known to them. Look at verse 23. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Isn't that great? Even though they're so against the word, you know, he still promises that. Now turn to Psalm 90. Well, that's where we're going to close. Psalm 90, verse 12. Okay. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The wisest thing that we can do as people of any age is to invest in learning and understanding God's word. This will help keep us sound-minded and blessed, and will also help us from making bad decisions. When you approach God's word with an open eyes and a meek heart, you can't help but marvel at the great wisdom it contains. This word of God is a fountain of wisdom for us to pursue until we take our last breath or until our Lord returns. So that's what I wanted to share. The contrast between the wise and the unwise, and it's real simple, but there's so much learning, and the 9 chapters that talk a lot about it. But I thought I'd share that with you guys, and I'm going to pray. So God, thank you so much for revealing everything about life and godliness in your word, how we can look for those things that maybe we even have in our hearts sometimes where we might be simple, or we might even be fools, or hopefully not scorners, but Father, help us to just continue to respect and revere your word the way it's designed to be, so that you can teach us many wonderful things lots of wisdom, lots of understanding, so that we can give this to the people that are in need all over the, in our local areas as well as the world. Thank you so much for the privilege and honor it is to share the word with these people this morning. Thank you, God. We love you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, have a great week, everybody.